Welcome to the Raising Sons podcast, where I help moms to confidently navigate their sons' developmental, academic, and behavioral transitions with clarity and ease. I'm your host, Dr. Rochelle Whitaker, but you can call me Dr. Shell. I'm an educational psychologist, parenting advisor, and maternal mental health specialist. Now let's get into the show. Hey, it's another episode of the Raising Sons podcast, and we're deviating just a little bit to bring awareness to autism. Did you know that 1 in 10 boys are diagnosed with a developmental disability such as autism? On this episode, I interview a friend of mine who has 5 boys, one of which has autism. I also want to share a resource with you on 5 common misconceptions about autism. To get this resource, text AUTISM, AUTISM, to 1-833-638-5442. Now let's get into the show.
Okay, the children that my husband and I have together, the in-house boys, what we say, we call them the first set of boys and the second set of boys. They are 5, 10, and 11. And then I have 2 bonus sons, my stepsons, who live in Houston, and they are 17 and nearly 20. He'll be 20 next week. So Jackson is my son who is on the autism spectrum. He's my soon to be 12-year-old. He is the one who actually piqued my interest in school psychology. I have a background in speech, love speech, love working with children with disabilities, loved working with families. I did home health for a long time and just loved being in the thick of families, being able to see the day to day and help families and children with more functional type of behavior goals and speech goals. So that kind of piqued my interest and said, okay, what can I do to kind of address disabilities before, I guess, when parents initially have the interest, because I worked more with pediatric patients. And so a lot of times I had parents who say, well, you know, I know my kiddo is speech impaired, but I'm having concerns, or I would notice concerns. And that just piqued my interest in, you know, kind of being able to assess these potential disabilities and get children as much intervention, as much assistance as we could. That's how I got started into school psychology. Yeah, and that's about my boys who all play different sports. Some are into sports, some are into robotics. They all eat everything. They all have that in common. They're eating everything. And yeah, they're fun. Our family's fun when we're together. So it's never a dull moment.
So tell us about your path to motherhood. What did that look like? So I know you have 2 older bonus sons. I don't know where you want to start, with them or with Jackson, because he's the oldest, right? He's 11.
Right. He's okay. The oldest. So the older boys, when my husband and I married, were 2 and 4. So they were like my first children, my first hands-on experience of being a mom. I think it was kind of a cheat a little bit, because it was, you know, every other weekend kind of mom, and it was more easy breezy than it is in real life when you have your own full-time children. And they were, you know, really tame kids, good boys. But then again, you know, when you have them every other weekend or holidays, you know, I got a lot of leisure time and, you know, got to go to the bathroom by myself and all of those things that, you know, the lovely things that come along with motherhood. When my husband and I, after we've been married a couple of years, we decided to start trying, you know, to start our family together, and got pregnant right away with Jackson when I was, oh gosh, I was 26. And Jackson, we had a traumatic birth with Jackson. And so he endured some stress at birth, was in the NICU for a little while, and some brain abnormalities after all of his testing and MRI and CAT scans and all those things. And the neurologist just always told us, you know, it's not substantial enough for us to say that he's brain damaged at this point and what that may look like. You just have to keep an eye on it, which is scary, because as a new mom, it's like, okay, what am I looking for? And so that would just always kind of hung over our heads. Like, we have this, you know, this seemingly healthy baby, and we would just always waited for the other shoe to drop. And so Jackson developed normally, met different milestones. He was a little bit slower to talk, but at a year, you know, you didn't expect your child to say a whole lot. He wasn't saying as much as some of the other, you know, children were saying, but, you know, they always say boys are slower talkers. But when he was closer to 2, we noticed some more concerning signs for autism. And that's when we kind of started our journey to getting him evaluated. And that was another 2-year journey just to get him evaluated and appropriately diagnosed with autism. He was nearly 4. So it was a not typical start to, you know, motherhood once I started, you know, had my own biological kiddo. So it was definitely interesting.
And so how did you manage all of that? Like, as a new mom, how did you know how to navigate that whole you were feeling like something else was going on with him. How did you navigate that? How did you know to go to find resources or what to do?
That all came from my training in speech. I was going to school for speech at the same time. So it was happening at the same time. And it was literally studying developmental disorder, studying childhood apraxia of speech, studying the red signs for autism, because I had no idea what autism was. Mm-hmm. And then literally like seeing he flapped his hands. Oh, he's doing this repetitively. Oh, he's slowed his feet. So it was literally just like kind of comparing the two and then saying, oh, I think this is what could be wrong, you know, with my son. And my husband just thought I was crazy. And he's like, no, you know, you're taking what the neurologist said and going off the deep end with it. And so at any rate, I read everything that I could get my hands on, you know, consulted with my professors at the time, you know, just saying that this is what I thought was going on. Talked to our pediatrician. We signed up for the early childhood program. I forget the name of the early childhood program we signed up for. But at that time, they were even just like, no, you know, he's one, he's fine. They said that at one. Then when I had them come back, when he was closer to two, they were like, oh, okay. So they were kind of the first ones who were saying, no, it's not all in your head. You know, we see some of the same concerns. And so I just kind of struck out on that journey alone because my husband didn't want to have anything to do with it. He's just like, I'm not buying into this. You know, he's very spiritual. So it's more about, you know, prayer and manifesting, you know, positive things. And it was real, a lot of, I think, the male ego and, you know, not my son, this can't be my boy and those types of things. And so and I'm, you know, have the same idea, but, you know, faith with that works is there. So on the other hand, let's do something, you know, while we're trying to figure out how to help our son. So it was tough. I feel like I didn't get a chance to enjoy as much and kind of enjoy being a new mom because I was just, I leapt straight into, I guess, I just went to work. I had to figure it out. You know, went to work. I knew something was wrong and it had to be addressed. So
the good thing for you is that you had like a, almost like an insider, I want to say like an insider perspective, because there's so many moms who have children with disabilities and, you know, their doctors tell them, oh, just wait, it's nothing wrong. He's a boy. He's, you know, boys develop slower. And she's like, something is telling her that something is wrong, but everybody else, maybe her family saying, no, he's fine. And then, so she just leaves it alone because she doesn't know what else to do, right? She doesn't have that insider perspective, or she doesn't have, you know, she's not going to school at the same time for speech or something dealing with developmental disorders. So she's just left thinking, okay, well, maybe he's fine and I'll just leave it alone. Maybe I'm just being, you know, overzealous. And so then it comes to school time and it's like, oh gosh, we're so behind the eight ball because everybody was telling me he's fine and he could have been getting all these interventions and he wasn't because I didn't know what to do. And, you know, so it was definitely a good thing that you had that other perspective. You had something to say, oh, all of these things look like this, you know?
Right. For sure. That was a blessing because otherwise, it was a blessing also that the neurologist was honest, you know, with us, because had we not had all of the information at the time, we could have been, that could have been the case for us, not really realizing things until it's too late, but until things had progressed more.
Mm-hmm. For the weary mama, I see you. I see the pain and guilt in your eyes as you describe your son's struggles at school. The endless phone calls from the principal, the disappointed looks from his teachers, the feelings of failure as a parent. You lie awake at night, replaying every interaction, wondering where you went wrong. You berate yourself, thinking if only you had been more attentive, more disciplined, more present, then maybe your son wouldn't be in this situation. The weight of it all is crushing you. But sweet mama, this is not your fault. Your son's behavior is not a reflection of your worth as a parent. You are doing the best you can with the challenges you've been given. I know it feels like an uphill battle, but I urge you not to lose hope. Your son needs you now more than ever. He needs your unwavering love, your steadfast support, your fierce advocacy. This is your calling as his mother. So take a deep breath, wipe away those tears, and schedule your consultation with me today. And together we will fight. Fight for your son, your family, and the future I know is possible. The link to schedule the consultation is in the show notes. So this wraps up another episode of the Raising Sons podcast. Be sure to download, share, subscribe, do all the things. Remember, we have to start with the end in mind. Until next time.